This morning is the truth of Christmas. The truth of Christmas. John chapter 18, verses 33 through 38. Now, I know as we're looking at this morning, you're thinking, well, Jordan, you're in the wrong end of the book of John if to be talking about Christmas. But you're going to see in this passage we're going to look at this morning that there is a hyperlink contained here that transports us here at the end of the life of Jesus, his earthly life. There's a hyperlink in this text that transports us back to the beginning. You're going to see that in this text. But in John chapter 18, beginning in verse 33, if you would please stand in honor of God's word as we read this together. The context of this is that Jesus is on trial for his life. This is a very familiar text. And he's before the local Roman representative, the authorized representative of the Roman Empire, is interrogating Jesus about his alleged claim to be a king. And the seriousness of this is that as a representative of the Roman Empire, there is only one king, and that's Caesar. And all others who claim to be kings are seen as revolutionaries, that they're leading rebellion, and the Roman Empire must make an example of them. So that is the seriousness of this conversation that's taking place. That's the context of this conversation. And that's who Pilate is, who is, again, he is representing the full force and authority of the Roman Empire. And this is the statement. It says, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world." Now that's already making an assertion, because he's asked him, you know, are you a king? And he just said, "My kingdom," which is saying, "Yes, I am a king." And understand that this conversation is so strange because Pilate is probably used to people that maybe are in this position and are cowering. They're afraid. Their life's on the line. They're maybe groveling, doing anything they can to try to save their skin. But Christ replies back and says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." So he's making so many statements there. He's saying, "My kingdom," which is saying, "Yes, I am a king and I have a kingdom, but it is not of this world," which is also making another statement to say, by the way, there is another world. There is another world. There's so much that is implied in these statements that Christ is making here. But I just want you to see the context of what's going to be said next. Look at verse 37. "Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born." And listen to what he says next. This is that hyperlink that ties us to Christmas. Here at the end of the story that takes us back to the beginning of the story, he says this, "And for this cause came I into the world." Why did he come into the world? "That I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." That is such an interesting statement, especially as it's being spoken to Pilate. What he's saying here is, "You're hearing me. I'm speaking to you right now. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And so he's basically putting Pilate on the spot and saying, "Do you hear what I'm saying? Are you of the truth?" We get our answer. "Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all." Let's Lord in prayer together. Father, we thank you, God, for your word, for your revelation. Father, I know that we, in life, a lot of times we think that we struggle to know what is your will. So many Christians were asked that question, what is the will of God? What's the will of God for my life? But Father, it's amazing. It's not some secret thing to where we have to read the infinite mind, to read your mind, to know what your will is, God. You have clearly revealed it through the scriptures. You have made very clear what is your will. We thank you, God, for your revelation. We thank you for the scriptures. They are so illuminating. God, as we read these things, we can see what the truth is, that God, you have borne witness to the truth. God, you have told us exactly what the truth is. You have told us exactly what your will is. And God, it's just a matter of applying what you have revealed. So Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We pray your blessing upon it now as it's been read. And we pray that, God, it would impact us properly here this morning, God, with the weight that it deserves, as God, as we take this in, God, what you have said and the implications of it. And Father, I pray that you would help me, God, as I'm weak somewhat in body, Lord, but you would help me to be strong, God, in spirit and in my mind, to be able to go through these texts, God, and to explain and to expound upon what and unpacking what is here, and that, God, you would make it so clear, God, that we can understand, God, just how important and how essential what is being said in this text really is. I pray that we could see that this morning, and that, Father, that you could help us, God, to come to a knowledge of the truth, God, in just in everything in our life, God, every aspect of our life, God. It is so important that we believe the truth. So I pray, God, that you'd help us to come to a knowledge of the truth this morning. And if there's any person here, God, who is not a Christian, who has never come to that knowledge of the truth, I pray that it would happen this morning, God, through your Holy Spirit, through your power, your supernatural miracle working power. I pray that it would happen here this morning. We pray and ask all these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Maybe seated. You know, the truth, it's an interesting thing as I think about the truth of Christmas. I had a friend I used to work with, an old guy. He worked on the rigging crew that would do like heavy lifts and things like that. This real old kind of country guy, and his name was Gerald Stooksberry. And every time I saw him, I would say, you know, hey, Gerald, how's it going? I'd say, what you been into? And he would say this. He would say, I'd say, hey, Gerald, what you been into? And he would say, oh, just working hard and telling the truth. And I thought, when he said that, it always kind of struck me. I said, well, that, you know, I would say things like, you know, that second part can kind of get you in trouble, telling the truth. You know, when somebody says it, you almost pause. When they said, working, oh, what have you been into? Oh, just working hard. You kind of just move on. When we said, oh, just working hard and telling the truth, you kind of freeze for a minute. What do you mean by the truth? If someone comes to you and says, I need to sit down with you, I need to tell you the truth, we pause. Because the truth is a powerful thing. And because the reason that we pause, and in our mind we're already beginning to reconfigure this and say, well, you're going to give me the truth according to you, but maybe it's not really the truth. But we pause when we hear something like that because it's almost like we're always operating under the kind of this haze of maybe there's something that I'm not aware of that you're going to say to me that's going to change everything. Maybe there's some deception that I'm not aware of, or maybe there's a deception that I am aware of that you're going to point out to me. You see, the truth is a problem. It shouldn't be, but it is. That comes to mind as I read this passage this morning in John chapter 18. This is such a fascinating conversation. Some very deep statements are being made, and I think it wouldn't even be exaggerating to say, I mean, these statements are as deep as they come, revealing things about this world, revealing things about the nature of reality, and revealing things about God. Now, Pilate's question, you see it here in verse 38, what is truth? Pilate's question represents this world. And we know as we're reading this that, and it's interesting, even his reaction after he says this, that it's not really a question. Pilate is not asking a question, what is truth? It's really a statement. And it represents this world. What is truth? The statement is this: there is no truth. Christ said that for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth, and everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. The reply back to that is this: don't you know? There is no truth. That is the statement that Pilate is making. Truth is dead. Truth does not exist. There is no right, and there is no wrong. There is no, what he's saying is, there is no ultimate standard. He's saying that you're talking about that you came into the world to bear witness to the truth as if there's some kind of ultimate standard. There is no ultimate standard by which to judge everything else. What is truth? He is saying that there is no truth. And therefore, because that is true, that there is no truth, therefore, whoever has power and authority decides what is right and what is true. That is the statement that Pilate is making. Basically, it's like Christ saying, I came to bear witness to the truth, and Pilate is saying, I'll decide what the truth is, not you. You see, I'm the one who has the power, therefore I decide. Look where you're sitting. And Pilate kind of says this in the conversation. He's basically saying, look where you're sitting. You don't decide anything. Whoever has power and authority decides what is right and true. That's the nature of this world. In Pilate's mind, he may be giving this Jewish fanatic, this man who has been causing trouble there in Jerusalem. In Pilate's mind, he is giving him an education on the real world. There is no truth. Whoever has power and authority decides what is true, and he has no power, he has no authority, so it's not up to him. I'll put it this way. Is it right or wrong to crucify Jesus? That's the question that's really on the table in this context of what's taking place here. Is it right or wrong to crucify Jesus? Well, it's up to Pilate. It is up to Pilate whether it is right or wrong to crucify Jesus. And I want you to feel the force of what's being said here and what I'm saying this morning. When I say it's up to Pilate, everyone would say, yeah, of course it is. I guess, you know, he's the person in authority. He's the governor. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's up to Pilate, and he can't be wrong because it's up to him. He defines what's right. Should he choose to let Jesus go, it's the right decision. Should he choose to crucify him, it's the right decision because he defines what's right. That's a different statement. That's the statement that's being made here. Pilate, representing Rome, which has all the power. You see, there is a king of the Jews, and it's Caesar, because Rome has dominated and subjugated the Jewish people. They belong to Rome. They have a king, and he's not sitting in front of Pilate at this moment. Caesar is their king. And as representing Rome, which has all the power, Pilate doesn't make right or wrong decisions. He defines what is right, and he can't be wrong. To kind of give you a modern context of this, imagine living in North Korea. Have you ever thought about the situation there? I mean, that country is so unique. Imagine living in North Korea in that world. You say, well, no, it's not a world, Jordan, it's a country. It's a different world. Imagine living in North Korea. It is a different world from the world that you and I live in, where your supreme leader, Kim Jong-un, cannot be wrong. Think about that for just a moment. I know this is kind of some deep things to think on, but living in North Korea, where your supreme, and he is the supreme leader, Kim Jong-un, cannot be wrong. And he will decide for you what you need to know. And will let you know what is true. You know, you hear about stories of And it's even hard to get the stories out of North Korea because nothing goes in, nothing comes out. It's completely closed off. But you hear stories of people being tortured, being imprisoned. And you think about, you know, people being killed and people just disappearing. And you think about the physical part of that, of having your loved one taken from you or being tortured or being imprisoned. But the physical aspects of that. But I think what is even worse are the mental aspects of that. Can you imagine living in that society? The brainwashing, the manipulation, the conditioning, suppressing the truth. Can you imagine raising kids in that society? You know, kids don't, you know, we're born recognizing truth. Sometimes you as parents, you know that it's kind of scary when your child says something to somebody, because sometimes kids tell the truth when they're not supposed to tell the truth, right? Sometimes they're a little too truthful. They'll point things out that everybody else sees, but you don't say that. Can you imagine raising kids in North Korea where they speak up and they say something, you have to say, you can't say that. No, we don't say that here. But it's true. No, it's not true. Can you imagine? Because now you're the one, because of the conditions you're living under, now you have to teach them how to be brainwashed. You have to teach them what the truth really is. Not the truth as they see it and experience it and can obviously see it, but the truth as the state has defined it. Only lies, only darkness. There is no light, there is no truth. They are eliminated. We've done away with them. And that's just the way it is. And you know, to an extent, that's the way the whole world is, not just North Korea. That's the way this world is. That is what Pilate is saying. He's saying, we decide, not you, Jesus. You're going to come bear witness to the truth. You don't get to decide what the truth is. We tell you what the truth is. And we're going to show you what the truth is. We're in charge here, not you. Pilate is saying, that's the way the world is. Get used to it. That's reality. To which Jesus replies, sitting here bound, already beaten. I can imagine a black eye. I can imagine his face has been beaten. He's already been smacked and punched, spit on. He's not been scourged at this point. But I can just imagine Jesus sitting there in complete weakness, having zero power, Pilate having all the power, all the authority, and saying, this is reality. Get used to it. This is the way that it is. To which Jesus replies, no. It's not. And as a matter of fact, that's why I'm sitting here right now. And you will be judged for the decision you're getting ready to make. That's what Christ says. Because there is truth by which you will be judged. The truth exists. There is an ultimate authority above Rome, above North Korea, above every kingdom of this world, above every person of this world. There is an ultimate authority above all other authorities, by which all other authorities are judged. That's reality. And that is why Christ came, to shine light into a dark world. And when Christ showed, by the way, it's the nature of reality. Truth has always existed. It cannot not exist. It exists in the very nature of God. But Christ showed up for this reason into this dark world because he is full of grace and truth. Look at John chapter 1, going back to the beginning of the story again. John chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. Listen to how this is described, this man who is coming on the scene. As we celebrate this at Christmas, celebrate the birth of Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh. The Word by which all things were created. The Word which created all things. And the Word, the Creator, was made flesh. The one who made flesh became flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is before me, for he was before me." Even though John is older than Jesus, he's saying he existed before me, because it's more than just his cousin Jesus. This is the Son of God. Verse 16, "And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." This is so profound as we see that Christ is full of grace and truth. As he's having this conversation with Pilate, he is truth personified, sitting there before Pilate. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is full of grace and truth. This is such an interesting statement, because today, and even in that day, but especially today, we're told grace or truth. Pick one. Which one are you going to choose? Will you be gracious or will you be truthful? That's what this world has decided. Grace or truth. You cannot have both. Are you going to love people? Do you want to love people? Or do you want to tell them the truth? You're not allowed to do both. Which one are you going to do? Either you love people or you tell them the truth. If you tell someone the truth, you hate them. If you tell your friends at school the truth, you hate them. It's truth or grace. That is dominating our society today. And it's darkness. But then Christ shows up and he shines the light and he says, "No, it's grace and truth. It will be both. It can only be both." He overrules the whole world and says, "Absolutely not. Overruled. Grace and truth, not grace or truth." This is huge. He says, "It is unloving to lie to someone. It may feel good. It may get you patted on the back. It may get you accepted. But if you lie to somebody, you don't really love them." Christ shows up and tells us the truth. If you love people, you will tell them the truth. This is so powerful. Christ liberates us. He sets us free to love people and to tell them the truth. I'm excited about this. As I think on this, I think it is possible. I'm forced with this decision all the time. If you're going to be respectful and really love them, you can't say anything. Here, put this gag on and be loving. Or take it off and be filled with hate. And I say, "No, absolutely not. I'll do both. I'll tell people the truth because I love them." Amen. And Christ makes that possible. Whew. I'm so glad he came, full of grace and truth, because they can say to me, "No, you're hateful or you're truthful. Or excuse me, you're going to be loving or you're going to be truthful." And I'm going to say, "You know, there's this man who was born into this world. And by the way, we're all about to celebrate his birth, who was both perfectly and fully. He was full of grace and truth. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be just like him. And I'm not going to go wrong if I'm just like him, because he told the truth. There has never been anyone in the history of the world more truthful than Jesus. And there's never been anyone in the history of the world more loving than Jesus. And I'm going to be just like him. and I'm going to tell the truth, and I'm going to love people. You know, you've probably heard of this story, the emperor's new clothes. Have you ever heard this story before? This is an important story. The emperor's new clothes. This is an old story. 1837, I think, is when it came out. Hans Christian Andersen. The emperor's new clothes. I've always heard this story referenced. I don't know if I've ever actually, I've never sat down and read it, but I didn't realize if I knew all the details of this or not. But I'm sure you've probably heard this reference before. But here's how the story goes. There are two swindlers who arrive at the capital city of an emperor. You won't be able to read that. You can go back to the picture, Julie. Two swindlers arrive at the capital city of an emperor, and this emperor is known for wanting to wear the best clothes, the most lavish clothes. And they come in, these two swindlers come in, and they pose themselves as weavers. And they say, we can weave you, for the king, for the emperor, the most beautiful clothes you've ever seen. And we have this very, very special fabric. It's the most beautiful fabric you've ever seen. But there's something very special about this fabric. If you are ignorant and stupid, you can't see it. And they pull this out, and they say, look at this fabric. But the thing is, it's so beautiful. It's the most beautiful fabric you've ever seen to make clothes out of. But the only thing is that if you're to the ignorant and stupid, it's invisible. And so the emperor, looking, says, that is beautiful. And they say, would you like us to make you some clothes? And he says, yes. And so then they go over to the sewing machine, and they sit down, and they begin, and the weave, and they begin to, and they're putting this together, and they walk over to the king, and finally, your clothes are ready, here is your coat, and he says, okay, put it on me, and he's let everybody else in his court know that this is so beautiful, but only stupid and ignorant people can't see it, but those who are wise, it's the most beautiful fabric you've ever seen, the most beautiful clothes you've ever seen. So they walk over and they say, here is your coat. And they put the coat on him, and they put the pants on him, all this. And now he's going to go out into town. And they're letting everybody know, everyone in town know, the king who loves these lavish clothes, finally he has these new clothes that are so beautiful. But know this, the stupid and ignorant, they can't see this fabric. They can't see these clothes. It's invisible to them. So he parades down through the town, and everybody's looking, but nobody wants to be stupid or ignorant. And he's parading around, and finally a little kid walks around and says, the emperor has no clothes! He's naked! And everybody jumps. This stupid little kid, they're invisible to him because he said the emperor has no clothes. As I read that story, I think, man, that is so applicable to today. Are you accepting of certain things, or are you stupid and ignorant? Which one is it? I'm neither. I reject it. I'm going to be neither. I'm going to reject that you're either stupid or ignorant, or you're going to accept this. I throw the whole thing out and say, I'm going to tell the truth. Amen. Because I'm not stupid and ignorant, and because I can recognize the obvious. And I'm going to say something. I cannot tell you how refreshing it is that Christ has come. You know, it talks about that God's mercies are new every morning. But I can't tell you especially how refreshing it is in 2021 going into 2022 that Christ has come and said, oh no, I'm the authority, and I say grace and truth. Mm-hmm. We're going to tell the truth. and we're going to do so lovingly. If you are not loving, if you are not, if you don't love people, you're a fake, and it is wrong not to love people. So if you don't love, you don't bear witness to the truth, because it's right and it's true to love people. And you cannot love people without telling them the truth. It has to be grace and truth. If you remove one, you lose them both. You see how that works? Not only is it not either or, they have to go together. You cannot have one without the other. We must have truth. We must have grace. As I've thought on this week, I've thought about that as Christians, it's okay. It's okay to believe the truth. We're people of the truth. I say this all the time. I don't have to be afraid of anything because I'm a Christian. If someone says, Jordan, I need to tell you the truth, I don't have to be afraid of that statement. I can say, please tell me the truth. I don't have to be afraid of any questions. Do you know how liberating that is? I mean, you go through life and these things build up over time and you're like, well, what if someone says this, or what if they ask that, or what if they, you know how liberating, you know, it's like a weight falling off you. You can say, ask anything you want. Ask me anything. Tell me anything. I want to hear the truth because I'm a person of the truth. You know what? Or let me give you another synonym for a person of the truth, a Christian. I say this all the time. I don't want you to become a Christian because that's my religious tradition and I want more people to join my religion. I want you to become a Christian, if you're not, because it's the truth.
Amen.
It's the truth.
Amen.
You know why I'm not? You know why I reject Islam? Because it's not true. If it's true, I'll believe it. I'm not afraid of Islam. I'm not afraid of Hinduism. I'm not afraid of atheism. I'm not afraid of any other worldview. I'm not afraid of paganism. They're just not true. I'm not afraid of liberal ideology. I'm not afraid of communism. I'm not afraid of socialism, any of those things. It's just that it's not true. There's error there. And we don't have to be afraid of the truth. As we close this morning, I'll finish with this, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 6. Again, this is another powerful scripture this morning, just like the others we've read. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, just verses 4 through 6. I'll ask everybody to stand, if you will, as we get ready to close this morning. I know I'm going back and forth. I have long sermons and short sermons. Well, it's a short one this morning, so well. That'll give plenty of time for questions afterwards. Interrogate me. Ask me anything after the service today. I love questions. Ask me anything. We don't have to be afraid of questions. We don't have to be afraid of conversations and dialogue. Of any fact that might be presented, as I think it was Thomas Aquinas said, all truth is God's truth. We don't have to be afraid of anything. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 6. I'm going to ask Bill if he would come and get a song for us. And Margaret and Tori, I forget them every week. Listen to what this says. Charity or love. Man, we need to really, if you're, you know, speaking about a standard. On my watch right now, like I said, I know we're short, and I'll try to really drag this out. I know people are like, I knew he's going to do it. I've got about 11:23. Is my watch right?
Yeah.
I got 11:22. You got 11. What do you got over here?
I got 11:20.
You got 11:20. We got 11:22. We got 11:23. So I guess my watch isn't right, or I guess they're. Or, you know, there's a, what you got it on your phone? 11:23. We just had. You hear what just happened here? Yeah, you know, not everyone's watches are right. There was an appeal to a standard, atomic time. I think it's the amount of time it takes cesium to decay. I mean, it's precise. This is not the standard. This is not the standard. That 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 is not the standard. There's not anything outside that door that is the standard. There's not anything inside that door that is the standard. This is the standard. This is the standard. If this doesn't match that, this is off. If anything doesn't match this, it's off. And we cannot adjust this. I will not be calling, I'm trying to think where the, I think it's in Switzerland, maybe where they keep up with the atomic time, the official time for the whole world. I will not be calling him saying, you missed it by 1 minute. I'll be changing this on this little knob because this thing gets off. That's what I'm talking about this morning. And I'm telling you right now, in your society, you will not imagine the pressure that you're under right now and that it will only increase from here to say, ladies and gentlemen, that's the standard. Or are you stupid and ignorant? Neither. That's not the standard. And I'm not stupid and I'm not ignorant. I'm going to tell you the truth. And here's the thing. Charity suffereth long, love suffereth long, and is kind. We have the truth, but I'm not a bully with this. I don't take this and hit people with it. If so, do you know what I'm doing? I'm violating the standard. I share this with people in love to say, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard. I desperately needed to hear this, and guess what? You desperately need to hear this too. You live in a dark world. Well, it's not dark to me. That just means you're blind. You live in a dark world. This is light. We can tell the truth. We don't beat people over the head. If you do, you're violating the truth. You've compromised on the truth because charity suffereth long and is kind. The moment you cease to be kind, you're wrong. The second you stop being kind, I don't care what just came out of your mouth or what you say, you're wrong. Because it is right, always right. Never not right to be kind. Set your watch by that. You must always be kind. Well, what if they say this to me? What did I just say? Always kind. Always kind. Is that not true? That's true. And there may be people that would come into this church and say, no, you don't understand. Yeah, I understand. You'll be kind, but listen. Hey, this is serious. We're going to have to take a stand here, which means we're going to have to stop being kind. False. We are to always, without exception, be kind. Because it's true. It's right to be kind. It's always right to be kind. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It's never right to be prideful. You hear the words I'm using? These are controversial. Never, always? That's right. The truth is, it never changes. There's not that, well, it's circumstantial. No, it's not. It depends on the situation. No, it doesn't. We are to always be kind. We are to never be prideful. We are to never behave ourselves unseemly. We are to live in accordance with love, which is the truth. We are to never behave ourselves unseemly or to be rude. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but love rejoices in the truth. Rejoices. Do you know how I felt for so long that I have to apologize for the truth? I have to be sorry for the truth. No, I don't. I can enjoy the truth. I can rejoice in the truth. I don't have to be apologetic for the truth. When you have the truth, you can rejoice in it. Because of Christ, we can believe the truth this morning. Because of Christ, we can have the courage to go tell the truth. Because of Christ, not only can we tell the truth and can we believe the truth, we can rejoice in the truth. The weight falls off. I can tell my friends the truth. I can tell my family the truth. And there's no compromise. There's no trade-off. We can rejoice in the truth. Because Christ has come, and he is full of grace and truth. Not grace or truth, grace and truth. That's the truth of Christmas. Because of what we're going to celebrate on December 25th, because Christ came full of grace and truth, it gives me the courage and the boldness. It's like that you're in this thick haze and it's black and it's dark and you can't even breathe and you live in it for so long, you get used to it and you begin to just accept it. And then this wind comes in and just, I mean, you think about it like the Holy Spirit, but this wind comes in and just blows it all away. And now everything's clear. Now we can breathe. Now we can see. That's what Christ does. When he came into this world, he came to bear witness to the truth, to say, no, there is a standard by which all other standards are judged. There is a standard by which we can set our life to that, and it will never be wrong. That is the greatest thing I've ever heard. And if you're here this morning, if you're looking for that standard, if you're here this morning and you've been knocked around, you've lost your bearings and you don't even know which way's up. You don't know if that's north or that's north. That's the way it feels today. And understand that it's part of just living life in this world, but it's also by design. We want complete confusion today. I ask a guy, this was 20 years ago. I ask a guy, we're in the midst of a conversation, it escalated to the point, and this is a very intelligent man, we got on the issue of abortion, and then we talked about murder, and I said, don't you believe that it's wrong to murder? You know what he said? Is it? Is it? That's where we're at. That was 20 years ago. Today, it's far worse than it was then. I don't know, is it? Is it wrong to murder somebody? Who's to say? That's where our society is today. And if you've been affected by that, and I'll say this, every person in this room has been affected by that. I can tell you good news is we can believe the truth. I don't have to apologize. We can believe the truth. There is a standard that you can knock this thing around all you want to, and that's fine, because you know what? I'm going to get the standard back out, and I'm going to be able to set it and say, nope, it's still right on the money. It's still right on the money. That's what Christ has done for us by coming into this world. If you need that standard, if you need Christ in your life, if you need his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ to come into your life so that you can be full of grace and truth just like him, then maybe you need to come this morning and pray and ask for God to save you, to become a Christian, so you can understand the consistency of not grace or truth, but grace and truth. That's the truth of Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about. As we close this morning, what page do you have, Bill?
307.
Page 307. We're going to sing Just As I Am. If you need to come this morning and pray, I encourage you to do so.